Participating lender.
In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yes, it is Monday. Alan Adams here in studio with us. Hello there, Mr. Adams. Nice to see you.
Hello, sir. How are you?
It's been too long.
I know. It's been a minute, right?
Yeah. Well, it was a holiday there last week, so yeah. We might drag you in on your day off.
No, I appreciate that. Like, we had the day off from work, so, you know, it was basically I was given permission to not do a GD thing, and that was kind of nice.
That is nice indeed. Well, I'm not gonna give you a GD thing to do, so don't worry about that. How have you been the last couple of weeks?
Doing well. Yeah, it's, you know, like it finally feels like fall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I say this, you know, on that day that I took off, you know, I wore shorts.
It was beautiful.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, well, that's probably done. We're probably done with that.
I think so. But yet,
but again, you don't know.
You don't know. Could snow, could be 70.
Well, I mean, the reality is, like, we can no longer trust the weather.
No.
I mean, why should the weather be any different than anything else, I suppose? But
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been good. Like, you know, doing the stuff around the house that you need to do, like finally getting around to, like, you know, we took down the Halloween decorations, but I hadn't, like, boxed them up yet. So just doing, like, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been good. But, you know, we've had time to get out and about and, you know, and see some friends and, you know, had a pretty busy weekend this weekend. You know, I know you didn't, but I did watch the travesty that was the Tyson Paul fight.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's funny because, again, I'm not.
I mean, if he was fighting Ron Paul or Rand Paul, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Right? Like the sequel is Paul's neighbor.
That guy knows what to do, right?
No, it's interesting because again, I'm not really a combat sports guy, but my dad was, you know, and so I've got a lot of like sort of like nostalgic sort of stuff tied up with boxing in particular. So I was interested to see, like, it was just like, oh, here's boxing getting sort of a much larger stage than I think it's had in a long time. I don't know that I feel great about, you know, how we got there.
Yeah.
The fight, it was just boring. Like, it was, you know, it was like everyone involved looked like what they were. You know, Logan Paul is a competent but not particularly skilled boxer. And Mike Tyson is 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and who apparently almost died 6 weeks ago. So
right.
It's like,
yeah, I didn't know about until after the fight.
Right. And so, but you know what? You know, you got to get them checks, I guess. But I will say, the fight that immediately preceded the headliner, the women's bout between Taylor and Serrano, that was a hell of a fight. That was a hell of a fight. It was interesting. It was interesting to be reminded of that weird combination of you know, of technique and brutality that can come. I mean, I suppose that's why they call it the sweet science or whatever. But I mean, ultimately, like, I kind of felt like, yeah, I stayed up till 1 for this.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and a third of the time I'm just watching the little thing spin in the middle of the screen.
I heard there were some buffering issues, yeah, for people.
I don't know what other people's numbers were. Mine were 25 and 77. Those were the ones that I got to see pretty regularly. I don't know if it was the same for everybody.
Wow.
But it was just like 25% or 77%. And then it would just sit there for a while. You know, get up, go get a drink, maybe go to the bathroom, come back. It's like, oh, well, no, that's all right. It'll come back eventually, probably. Well,
but it sounds like when you were getting that, you weren't missing anything.
No, that's the thing. No, I was not missing anything. I certainly wasn't missing things like, you know, like Mike Tyson was missing things. again, I kid and, you know, get paid. It's not mine to judge. I find the Paul kid to be extremely off-putting. But you know what? You know, he made $40 million for this fight.
So, is that really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he his check was 40 and Tyson's was 20.
Wow.
And I don't know what the undercard got paid, but, like, I mean, it's Netflix, man. Money means nothing to those people.
No, exactly not.
So that was my Friday night, and then Saturday afternoon we went to the symphony and saw a beautiful performance. I never thought I would be a symphony person, but I really love going. Like, there's something really like almost zen about it, because you know, you're sitting there and it's like by design you can't do anything else. Like, you're not on your phone. You're not double screening. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're just in the moment. I was telling Sheridan, you know, it's like church without the religion, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
In between on Saturday, I saw a couple of movies.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of Christmas movies.
Oh, boy.
And I'm very excited to share these with you. I'm not going to lie to you. First, the big box office release of the weekend, Red One, starring The Rock, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, Lucy Liu, et cetera. A massively budgeted film that... by all accounts, is near as I could tell, they basically were like, okay, so Santa, but it's a Marvel movie.
Sure, why not?
And it's like, okay, I mean, yeah. Santa's kind of a superhero, so let's see what you got.
Yeah.
What they have is not much, but we'll get into that. And the other, and I can't stress enough how both terrible and fascinating this movie is. It's a Netflix original. Rich, the title is Hot Frosty.
Okay. We're going to save that one for a second.
I think we should.
Yep. Yep.
I think we should.
Because I can't wait to hear how it goes. But let's go back to Red One.
Okay. Sure. Sure. So Red One, it's a movie that has been, I feel like we've been hearing about this movie for approximately 15 years. It just feels like it's been a sort of present on the periphery of the culture for a very long time. Obviously we have finally arrived. Written by Chris Morgan, directed by Jake Kasdan. The basic gist is, Santa's been kidnapped.
What?
And he needs to be saved.
Oh, man.
Okay, so the deal is, the world we're living in, there's this this organization called MORA, M-O-R-A, and that stands for Mythological Oversight and Restoration Authority, and they are a clandestine military unit that oversees the unsteady peace between humanity and the many creatures of myth and folklore.
I didn't know it was an unsteady piece.
I didn't either.
Wow.
That's how good they are at their job, Rich. we meet some of the names. We meet Callum Drift, who is the head of, he's the head commander of Santa Claus's Elf Squad, Enforcement, Logistics, and Fortification. You know, he's been at this for like 537 years, and he's getting too old for this stuff, Rich. And so this is it. This is his last ride. He's handed in his resignation to the man himself, Saint Nick, played magnificently by a shredded J.K. Simmons.
Really?
Ripped.
Wow.
Ripped. It's awesome. It is awesome. Our man Callum Drift has become disillusioned with the world. Like, he doesn't see the inner children within the grown-ups anymore. And everyone they all call grown-ups, which I found hilarious. Santa's getting ready. We're gearing up for the big day. It's going to be Callum's last ride, and a group of highly trained commandos led by the Christmas Witch.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, the Christmas Witch breaks in breaks through the many fortifications and defenses surrounding Santa's North Pole hideout and kidnaps Santa, much to the chagrin of our guy Callum Drift. The MORA director, Zoe Harlow, played by Lucy Liu. Now, how did they get there? How did they find him? He's been, this has been one of the best kept secrets in the world for centuries. Well, it turns out it's all because of a shady fellow by the name of Jack O'Malley. Jack O'Malley, played by Chris Evans, has spent his whole life with this knack. And this knack is that he can find anyone. He can track down anyone, find anything. And so he was hired to hack some laboratory that had computers monitoring a thing that gave it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you how Jack O'Malley came to be involved.
Okay. All right.
So Santa's kidnapped. Well, there's nothing to do. Like Mora, Zoe, Callum Drift. Nobody knows where to find him, where to start. So of course they got to bring Jack O'Malley in. So they bring Jack O'Malley in and question him along with a gigantic anthropomorphized polar bear named Garcia. again, like I just it sound I know it sounds like I'm like describing a dream that I had, but this is all very real and very expensive. They spent like $200 million making this movie. So anyway, our guy Jack is brought in and encouraged to help. Basically, like they're like, we'll double what they paid you. We just got to find Santa, and then, they go and they head out to find Santa. The path, of course, first and foremost, like the first stop, of course, is Aruba.
Well, yes,
because course, you know, yeah, right? I don't know, because maybe the Rock has a vacation home there. I don't really know why we got there, And then, you know, we learn more about the various and sundry figures. I mentioned the Christmas witch. Krampus makes an appearance.
Nice.
Although the relationship dynamics throughout all of this might be surprising. I don't want to spoil anything for folks.
All right.
Because you don't necessarily, you know, let's just say that all these folks go way back. Mm. We'll put it that way. They've all been living for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Gotcha.
You know, even if you hate each other, if you're the only people you see all the time, like those sorts of relationships are going to be. And then, there's this plot to use Santa's magic to punish all the naughty people. A list which apparently has grown exponentially in recent years. With different levels of things, and none of this is ever explained, of course.
No.
But that's not what we're here for. And we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot more stuff that happens, but as far as the story is concerned, that's about it. Jack has an estranged son, and Callum, discovers Christmas magic again or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's just there's a lot of just stuff. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. And there's something to be said for that.
Sure.
And what I thought it was going to be was not good. And that was accurate. But not good is not the same as not fun. And I had a very good time. It is a ridiculous premise on its face. However, it seemed like most of the people involved understood how ridiculous that premise was, and everyone kind of understood the assignment. There's some big set pieces, and again, like you have the boss battle. It really is structured very much like an MCU movie. You've got your team of heroes going against the big bads. And saving the day and whatnot. Now, look, does it make any sense? Not necessarily. You will walk out of there with some questions about logistics, physics, evolution. Like, there's a lot that's going on in this movie that you really sort of. How do I put this? Suspension of disbelief is always important, but it's particularly important with a movie like this. Just because, and again, it falls victim to the same sort of trope that so many Christmas movies, particularly ones that involve Santa Claus, fall victim to, in that everyone's like, Santa's not real, but, you know, all these presents are showing up at everybody's houses. Like, how are we reconciling that? Mm. And I've always wondered in, like, movie land. It's like, you know, like, where do you think this stuff is coming from, Mom and Dad? Like, where, like, just random stuff. You didn't buy it. It just, it's in your house. Like, what's happening?
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We've decided that we're just going to, just going to go with it. This is the kind of goofy stuff that The Rock should be doing. Like, this sort of, like, big dumb action fare. Right. Like, he's very well suited for, like, the comic relief tough guy kind of role. Chris Evans he's good. He's got a knack for playing those sort of, like, slightly rundown, shady types. Mm. I mean, he's still, you know, he's too handsome to be really, like, untrustworthy, but, you know, Lucy Liu is great. Again, I can't stress enough, J.K. Simmons, as well as Bonnie Hunt as Mrs. Claus.
Wow.
Which is nice. Yeah. Like, she's very good. And then various and sundry, like, supporting characters and cast members. Actually, Nick Kroll has a very fun sort of single scene turn that is pretty great. But yeah, it's like, it's not going to enter the canon. Like, it's not, this is not the sort of classic Christmas movie that I think maybe they wanted it to be.
Oh, really?
Like, I just feel like they thought they were, like, creating, like, you know,
making an elf.
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. and it just doesn't land that way. It feels generic in the ways that the lesser, well, superhero movies feel. Like, all the beats are familiar. Like, you've plugged in different names and different, like, details, but the basic beats are the same. And for someone like me who loves those movies, that's fine. And for kids, I'm sure kids are going to, like, and again, like, it's maybe a little, for the little ones, it's probably a bit much, but they keep it pretty toned down as mm-hmm. far as that goes. So, like, I think, like, there were kids in our screening who seemed to enjoy themselves. And again, like I said, I had a really good time. But I will not sit here and tell you that it is a good movie.
All right, that's the word on Red One. I wait. Your thoughts on Hot Frosty?
Sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does. But I just went online. You're not going to dump on Lacey Chabert, are you? Come on, she's the all-American Hallmark star.
Oh, yeah, no, the queen of the Christmas movie. No, not at all. Like, this is absolutely, I'll put it this way. This movie, like, nothing here is her fault.
Okay.
We'll put it that way.
Not even to your pride if you're in it.
Hey, you know, the money spends the same. Yeah, so it's Lacey Chabert, Dustin Milligan, some really, like, surprising names in the supporting cast. Joe Latruglio, Craig Robinson,
wow.
Lauren Holly is in this movie. I unrecognizable. Like, it's like, oh wait, yeah, she's probably.
It's been 30 years,
yeah,
right?
She's probably getting up there at this point. Yeah. So, but yes, so. All right. I'm going to describe the plot of this movie to you.
Oh, so there is a plot.
Yes. It's actually very familiar to most of you, although you've usually heard it sung. Yeah. No, it is not called Hot Frosty by accident.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here we go. It is set in the town of Hope Springs. Because of course it is.
Yeah.
Kathy Barrett, who is, that's Lacey Chabert, owns Kathy's Cafe, which is the downtown eatery that all the small town folks go to for their pie and whatnot.
and sense of community.
Yes. She is a widow. Her husband was the handy one, and so she lives in a house that is very slowly crumbling around her. Leaks in the roof, broken stairs, the furnace doesn't work, which, you know, in wintertime, like, that's not great.
No.
It's not what you want. So she's, you know, she's struggling with, you know, just being alone and coming to terms with the reality of her, you know, of her state. And then one day during the world famous Hope Springs snow sculpture contest, she runs over and delivers some lunch to her friends her friends who run the nearby like resale clothing store, because of course, like, sure. what thriving downtown doesn't have a store called Reclaimed Rags? and Mel is like, you know what? It basically boils down to, you need a man. You need a man, Kathy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been long enough.
Preferably a handy one.
And she's like, you know what? Here's what I'm going to give you. And she gives her this red scarf. And the scarf is the scarf that she was wearing when she met her now husband. And she's like, oh, here you go. Like, this, maybe this will bring you some luck. And, you know, so she's like, well, I can't really. And they go back and forth. And eventually she takes it because, of course, she's going to take it. And then she goes out to out into the square with, again, the world famous snow sculpture contest. And she comes across a snowman. Now, it is not the three balls with coal and carrot kind of snowman.
No.
Apparently, Michelangelo lives in Hope Springs because we have carved an absolutely exquisite human form out of snow.
Mm.
And Kathy's looking at it, and she's like, you know what? Snowman, you need this more than me. She puts the scarf on the snowman, and away she goes. Well, what do you think happens next, Rich?
Gosh, I don't know. There must have been some magic in that old red scarf. Does he, I don't know, come to life?
He does.
Whoa!
He does. He springs to life naked.
Oh,
and
well.
Which causes some consternation. That's when we meet Lauren Holly's character, because she's driving through town and she's like, oh God, that is a naked guy.
Is that a carrot? No.
So anyway, comes to life, he panics, the cops are called, the sheriff, being a real hardcore Law and Order type, played by Craig Robinson, with his deputy, played by Joe Latrullio. And so he's naked, he's like, he got to cover up, so he accidentally breaks into Reclaimed Rags and takes a pair of coveralls and some boots, and he puts them on, and he makes his way out there into the world.
Kind of looks like a handyman.
Yes, he does.
Wow.
He's got the coveralls have a name tag. The name is Jack. So apparently he's Jack now.
Mm.
And almost instantly, our man Jack becomes a vital figure in this community. Despite the fact that, again, he speaks perfect English and understands fundamental concepts, but also is essentially an infant.
Hmm. But he knows how to do things.
He does.
Wow.
Well, he learns things from TV.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like you do.
Sure.
And there's a whole, like, side thing where, like, because he tracks Kathy down. He's like, and explains to her, like, what his deal is. She takes him to the town doctor, who, I'm pretty sure got her medical degree in like Guadalajara or something. Like, it's like she's not a very good doctor, because here's what she does. She takes the guy's temperature. It's very cold because, again, snowman.
He's a snowman, yeah.
And then her medical diagnosis is, well, I'm pretty sure he's a snowman that came to life. I wish I was making this up, Rich.
Wow.
And then, of course, Jack and Kathy, she's trying to protect him because our Law and Order sheriff is like, I'm going to track down the person who broke that window and was running around naked. And so they're trying to protect him. But Jack's just so gosh darn wholesome that he's just getting out there and, like, helping the community. Like, he starts, like, doing all these good deeds around town. Winds up doing maintenance at the local middle school, because, again, a random drifter shows up in your town. What do? Yeah, I mean, you put him in the middle school,
right? Like, get him around the kids as quickly as possible,
right?
Yes.
And put him in charge of setting up the school dance. Like, this all makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
And well, I'm I was going to say, I'm not going to spoil it. I think we all know how this is going to play out. But essentially, what we watch as as Jack discovers what it means to be a man, and Kathy discovers what it means to open her heart again
to a snowman.
Wow. There are a lot of it's one of these movies where that makes me regret not. that makes me regret not having my old gig because headlines. Yes. Like, they were just like, isn't it snowmantic? Snow mannequin on the move. But it really does in like so many ways, like in terms of the beats, it kind of does follow the song in ways that that didn't really click for me until after the fact. And I'm like, oh.
Now, does he, I'm going to give anything away, does he turn back? Or does love melt his heart?
I'm not going to tell you,
okay,
Rich.
Thank you. All right.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
Suffice to say, he retains many snowman-like qualities, even as a person. But it's like, I don't know if I would have thought about the idea of, bringing a snowman to life and all of his, like, he's got like an 8-pack, but that's me. Like, I'm not the person who's making these decisions.
No.
But yes, I love that this movie exists. Everything about it, from the title, to the structure, to the talented people really slumming, but there are bits throughout where it's just like you see these little glimpses of people being like, yeah, isn't this ridiculous? Watch this. You have no idea. Like, Joe Latruglio, dancing with the snowman out in the middle of the square. Craig Robinson sings not once but twice. He sings a very moving song about Hope Springs. And again, can't stress this enough. The town is called Hope Springs. But it is basically a slightly elevated, but that's not quite right. It is a Hallmark movie with slightly better production values.
Okay.
And it is utterly ridiculous. There's zero chemistry between our two ostensibly romantic leads. Wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Because again, you pull at the threads and it's like, he's cut and he's like fixing your house and stuff, but he's also been alive for like a week. There are some ethical and moral gray areas that are being explored. Honestly, the most romantic chemistry we saw was in the aforementioned scene where our snowman was dancing with Joe Latruglio, which, again, nothing wrong with that.
So you're saying perhaps he's not the snowman for all seasons.
It is wild. It is wild that this movie is a thing. It is, it's not good. Like,
and this is on Netflix,
this
right?
This is Netflix.
The folks that gave us the Tyson Paul fight.
This is what I'm saying. I spent more time with Netflix. And here's the thing. I'll sit here and tell you, this is a Hot Frosty, not a good movie. Literally a million times better than that fight. I know there are people out there who are connoisseurs of the Hallmark Christmas movie. It's getting to that season.
Mm, oh, yeah.
And I will say that if you were a fan of that sort of movie, you are going to enjoy this. And if you are not, but you just like to, bear witness to, some sort of coked out Netflix exec's fever dream, listed runtime's like 92 minutes, but it's Netflix, so there's like 10 minutes of credits. So it's really like an 85 minute movie. Like, I mean, you're in and out in less than an hour and a half. And I can honestly say there are much, much worse ways to spend that time. It's ridiculous, but at moments, also sublime.
I feel like I'll look at every snowman a little differently now.
I know I will.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Check out Hot Frosty. It's 5:44 on Downtown.